Father God, thank you again for this day and for everyone here. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that by your Holy Spirit, you'll continue to speak into our lives today, Lord. Speak to our hearts and change us. We want to be more like the one we love, like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to repeat something that you've probably heard many times, but it's a saying that we've tossed around that goes something like this: disappointments are God's appointment. Disappointments are God's appointments. Has anybody ever been disappointed? Life is full of disappointments, isn't it? You know, last week we talked about coming out of Egypt, and that Pharaoh, who is a type of Satan, wants people tethered. He wants them to be partially in Egypt. He doesn't care if you're partially out, as long as you're partially in. I'll say that again. He doesn't care if you're partially out, as long as you're partially in. And some folks think that they can kind of do that. You know, they can be partially out and yet still stay tethered to Egypt and get the blessing of God on their lives or have the blessing. But it just doesn't work that way. Because Satan knows as long as you're keeping those ties, those connections, he's going to keep you bound. And you're going to be like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. You know, your life will be a roller coaster ride. You know, God wants his people to be free, to completely come out, to sever every tie to the old way of life, to what was. He wants his people to divorce death and to embrace life, to come out of darkness and into light. And you cannot compromise with your adversary. You see, the adversary wants us to strike a deal with him, doesn't he? He wants us to compromise with him. I'll leave you alone as long as you just kind of compromise a little bit with me. Are you with me? I'll make sure that everybody likes you if you just compromise with me. I'll make sure that life goes a little easier for you if you just compromise with me. You know, it's really more comfortable. Sometimes it's more, let's face it, it can be simpler sometimes serving Pharaoh. I don't get quiet in here. The wide road that leads to destruction, you know. Many go that way. Why? Because it's a road of self-will. It's a road that requires no sacrifice, no commitment. It's a convenient way. And we're being offered or dished out a new gospel today that says you can have it both ways. All God wants to do is just patch you up a little bit, you know. Add a little prosperity to the old mess, you know. Have a positive attitude with the old mess. God wants us to change our thinking. And the thinking is this, is that I can't play or dabble with the devil anymore. He doesn't like me. He's not my friend. Anytime he wants to strike a deal with you, it's because he wants to mess you up. He wants to keep you messed up. And God wants his people to be free. He does not want his people to be bound by anything. Amen? Free indeed. We've come out in the right sense. We've come out of Egypt. We're coming out of death, amen? And we're walking in life. And God told Moses that I want you to move 3 days' journey out, amen? And to sacrifice there. Where? In the wilderness. Oh, yeah. How many know the wilderness is much better than Egypt? Than bondage. But when you've been in bondage, it's sometimes hard to see. You don't know what's up ahead. Because Moses even made the statement, well, I don't know exactly how God's going to have us worship there when we get there. But all I know is he told us to come out. And if God says to get out, he means it. Amen? And he didn't want him in any way, because Pharaoh kept trying to negotiate a deal for him just to compromise a little bit. You know, we'll take the young and take the old, and you guys go out and leave them here, but you guys go out and sacrifice. And he knew as long as there's some kind of attachment, whether it was the possessions that they had, you know, the sheep, the goat, and the oxen, and or it was the young and the old, the family, whatever, he was using some kind of method to keep them tethered to the old way. He did not want to let him go. He is a hard taskmaster, and he doesn't give up easily. How many know that you have to resist the devil? You have to fight the devil. You just can't just say, "Oh, get out of here, devil," and he's going to say, "Okay, come on." How many know you got to resist? And when we wrestle against flesh and blood, wrestling is not like boxing. Amen. Wrestling means it takes strength and endurance. And you have to wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. But you don't do it in your own strength. You do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when God is working through you and God is in you and you're trusting and depending on Him, how many know you can overcome anything? Amen. So God told them, "You're going to come out and you're going to spend some time." And they didn't realize how long they were going to be in the wilderness, because God had promised them a land, didn't He? Flowing with milk and honey. But the first thing that God wanted them to do is to come out completely and to worship Him in the wilderness. You know, Pharaoh wants you to worship him back in Egypt. He said, "Just worship here. You can do your sacrifices right here in the land." You know what? It doesn't work that way, folks. And people are trying to do. People come to church and they do their thing. They bring their offering. They bring their gift. They bring their worship or whatever it is. Are you with me? But they live for the world. They don't want to forsake the world. They don't want to come out of Egypt. They kind of want to have that Egypt life. And then on Sunday, I'll have my God life. Are you with me? And God says, "I want you out completely." Now, Jesus said it very clearly. He didn't say, "I want you out of the world." Amen? But I want you to be salt and to be light in the world. In other words, in your hearts, you must divorce yourself from the system of evil. The system of Antichrist. Amen? That which is in opposition or in rebellion to God's word. And so we come out of the world. Repentance means I've changed my mind. I was living this way. Now I'm living for Jesus. Amen. There's no turning back. There's no bridge there to go back across. It's been burned out. Hallelujah. How many know the Red Sea meant deliverance, right? Now, come on. Some people are in that place right now where they're like coming out of Egypt. They're trying, and maybe they're out a bit, but somebody's in pursuit of them pretty heavy right now. They're going through, you know, an onslaught of Pharaoh and his armies are coming after them with a vengeance. And how many know there is a pivotal time in a man and woman's life where you're going to have to make a decision that I can't look back, I can't go back, and where I'm going, I can't do on my own. I need God's intervention here. How many know? Amen. Moses had to listen to God, and God said, "Raise up your rod," amen, and the waters parted, and they went through on dry land, as you know. Well, that represents God's intervention in our lives, but they had to be willing to follow God. And where did God take them? He took them into a place where they'd never been before. When you follow Jesus, He's going to continually take you into places you've never been before. But it's in those places where you've never been before that you learn that God is faithful. Amen. You learn that He will come through for you. Amen? That He will make a way where there didn't seem to be any way. And so they came out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Just like we came out of the world. Amen. By the blood of Jesus. We've been set free. Amen. And we meet the Lord and identify ourselves with His death, burial, and resurrection as we go through water baptism. Amen. How many know the whole nation of Israel went through water baptism? It says in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were baptized in the water and what? In the cloud. Amen. They were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. Holy Spirit baptism, water baptism. Amen. The whole nation came through as Pharaoh pursued. But how many know that even though they went through the sea, that they still were not through, amen, with a time of testing that they were going to encounter? They had no idea. How many know there's many times in our lives when we think, "Oh, this is it. From here on out, it's going to be smooth sailing." And then we just find ourselves in another place where we've never been before. Oh boy. The awesome thing is that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. And He's going to be with you. He's going to help you. You just need to hook up with Jesus. Say, "Okay, Lord, well, how are we going to do this one? Are you with me?" And start pulling our hair out and getting stressed out and saying, "What am I going to do?" Say, "Lord, what are we going to do?" Turn trusting, leaning upon the Lord. You know, when we serve Pharaoh, when we serve Satan, we are free from certain conflicts, folks. Are you with me? The conflict begins really when you say yes to Jesus. And that's why we really need to grab a hold of the new ones. Amen. The new believers. They're all excited about Jesus. But how many know that that excitement amen, is going to be tested? Amen. There's going to become a time when and all of a sudden it's like not everything is as easy as it used to be. Now I'm coming into a wilderness time. I'm coming into a time of testing. Why? Because God wanted to prepare His people for glory. What are we going through? We're going through a transition period, a time we are sojourning here. This world is no longer our home. We are being prepared for eternity. And the good news is that in this place of transition, God provides all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Amen. God can rain manna down from heaven. He can make water come from a rock. Amen. God can keep us warm at night and cool during the day. He's our comforter. God drove His people into the wilderness. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Amen. The voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Remember, the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus. Amen. And it says, immediately He was what? Led by the Spirit where? Into the wilderness. What are we doing? We're joining ourselves with Jesus in His life. Everything that Jesus did was in fulfillment of what was written of Him. So here we are. We find ourselves now in a place we've never been before. And what happens is, and we've said this before, but we come out of Egypt, but then we still have a lot of Egypt in us. And God is trying to wean us, amen, off depending on anything or anyone else except Him. So He brings us into a wilderness time, an experience where now we have to trust God. Isn't that good? It's the best place to be, is to be in a place where you have to trust God. Because that's where His grace abounds in your life. That's what Paul meant when he said, "In my weakness is His strength. In my inability is His ability." It's all of Him. Hallelujah. The more our hearts are consumed by what we want, the greater the possibility of a letdown. We think we know what's best for us. And so sometimes we have all kinds of ideas and dreams and desires in our hearts, things that we want, the things that we think that we want. And the more that we're consumed by what we want, usually the greater the possibility of a letdown. Has anybody ever gotten really excited about something before, that something was going to happen? You're all excited and you're just like wound up and all of a sudden something happens and it doesn't happen. That's called disappointment, right? How many have ever even given a premature testimony? You thought God had done something for you and it hadn't actually been completed, or maybe it hadn't happened at all, but you thought it did. And you went around talking about it, all of a sudden it's like, oops, I guess I was a little bit too quick about that one. And I see a couple honest heads nodding back there. Yeah. Nobody's ever been presumptuous but me, I guess. But we learn, don't we? Exodus 15, verse 20. This is after they just came through the sea. It was a glorious deliverance by the hand of God. Amen. The mighty power of God was manifested once again. And Miriam, in verse 20, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, said, "Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And that's what the word Marah means, bitterness. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So what did the people do? Now here they just saw the mighty power of God, an awesome miracle, and 3 days later, they start to grumble. You know, we forget, don't we? How many know it's good to keep your testimony fresh, to keep it in your mind, to remember what God did for you, and to speak it and to share it with others? Amen? Keep your testimony fresh, because what he did then, he can do now. That same anointing that was there, amen, can be brought into the now. If you speak it, it's fresh. Keep your reminding yourself of where you were. How many know that we very easily become spoiled? We very easily forget God's goodness, amen? And sometimes when everything is going so well, we're more prone to forget God. Why? Because we start to focus on the stuff rather than the God who gave the stuff. So here it is, 3 days into the wilderness, and they complained. But what did Moses do in verse 25? He cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there, what did he do? He tested them. What is the purpose of a test? For a testimony, right? But what else is the purpose of a test? To advance, right? To advance you to a new level. How many know that our Christian walk is like that? God wants to take you from level to level or from glory to glory. And so there has to be tests, and you have to pass the test to go to the next level. Israel didn't learn the test, did they? 40 years, right? Going around the mountain. Okay, now what did he say? Verse 25, it cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it in the waters were made sweet. Then he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And then in verse 27, it says, then, everybody say then, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So here they are, thirsty, 3 days, just saw the miracles of God, but now all they can see is desert, dryness, thirst, and seemingly hopeless future. Because they're very quickly, like any of us, can quickly forget God, especially when it gets difficult. Or we can become angry or disappointed in God because God didn't do things the way we thought he should or when we thought he should. But God allows times of testing in our lives because he is conditioning and equipping and preparing his people for glory. Say amen. Make me feel good. So, have anybody been ever disappointed by people, right? How many have been disappointed by a broken friendship, broken relationships, broken failed marriages, broken promises? How about wayward children? How about employers? Ever been disappointed? How about circumstances? Career failures, job loss, disappointments, right? I can remember one time, I was in New York, and I flew out to Seattle, and I went to a church in Tacoma because it was in my heart to come back to this area. And I went there, and it was a church, probably about 1,500 people, and they had an American congregation, English-speaking, it was Korean-American, of about 400. And I was all excited about this opportunity. I came, and I prayed up. And I was fired up when I got there. And I preached one of the best sermons I think I ever preached by the grace of God. And there was a good response. And I just felt, oh, for sure, this is God's will for me. You know, this is the will of God. Well, a long story short, the board, which is quite sizable, got into this big, you know, head-butting thing, and they couldn't make up their mind. And eventually they just said, it's not going to work out. We can't agree. There wasn't a majority vote. So I kind of like my heart sunk a little bit because it was something that I was set on and I was sure was the will of God for me. And it was a great opportunity. It was coming back to an area where I wanted to be. And so I went back to my church in New York, and we just continued plowing over there and sowing and watering and just doing ministry. Well, I come to find out a couple years later that that church went through a real shaking. And a lot of stuff went on, and it kind of fell apart, split up. And then I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you for protecting me. I thought I would have been there. So God is protecting us often through disappointments. What seems to be a disappointment to us is actually God protecting you from something that you think you want, but it's not what He wants for you. It's not right for you. Oh, man, I know I'm not the only person, right? Okay. How many have ever been disappointed with God Himself? Mm-hmm. Unanswered prayer, delayed, you know, promises. How about even the death of a promise, the seeming death of a promise? God promised you something, and all of a sudden, instead of that thing coming to light, it just seems to die and fade away. I can remember over 20-something years ago, my brother and I were sitting in a meeting. He was in the Air Force. I was out of the Army. I was a fairly new Christian at the time. And a man came that we didn't know from Adam. He didn't know us from Adam. And he prophesied over us and says, you two have been called to the ministry of music together. And I said, wow. And he spoke into our lives about some things that happened when we were kids. He said, you were called as children. You know, together. We used to play and sing together as kids. And so we're kind of like, okay, cool, you know. And you tuck that thing away. Well, life goes on. He was in the Air Force. He was in the Azores. He was all over the place, you know. Eventually, he moved from Spokane to, you know, all over the place. We remained in this area. And then we went back to New England and to New York, about 10 years back there. And long story short, all of a sudden, we're looking back now at a situation where He's here. He's here, and we're ministering together. And I had thought that thing was dead and gone, or maybe it wasn't even a true word. Have you ever thought maybe that's not even a word from God because nothing seemed to come of it? But at the time, it just burned in your heart. It's like God was speaking to me. And there's a death to that promise. How many know God knows how to resurrect a promise? Amen? How many knew it was Abraham and Sarah, right? When they were past childbearing age, and God says, I'm going to wait until you're dead in your reproductive abilities, you know, completely, and because this is going to be a miracle baby. This is going to be what I do. I mean, no, Isaac was a miracle baby. And so, do you think Abraham might have been disappointed? Well, listen to the response of Sarah. She chuckled. She laughed when the angel said, you're going to have a son. You know? How can this be? Oh, come on. You know how old we are. 99 and 100? Do you see? It's God, His ways are not our ways. And sometimes we are trying to be wise in our own understanding and figure it out on our own. And even if God gives you a word, you know, hang on to that. Because it's all in His time, all in His season. He will bring that word to pass. He'll bring that promise to pass. But sometimes, folks, and often it has to die first. Why? Because if it dies, then you'll know it's not of you. You didn't make it happen. How many know Abraham tried to make the promise happen, right? Uh-huh. And we had an Ishmael, right? Yeah. Now Ishmael's still going at it today, too, aren't they? The two brothers. So we get disappointed sometimes because we don't understand God's ways, folks. How many know God is good? All the time He's good. He loves you so much. He knows what's best for us. Sometimes we're just like kids. We think our parents are being unreasonable. How many know your parents get a little more wisdom, right? Generally speaking. Well, our Father definitely is all wise and all knowing. So here they are, the Red Sea miracle, the song of deliverance, now the hot and thirsty, dry land, no water. They come to a place where they're rejoicing. They come to the waters and they say, great, hallelujah, the answer to our prayer. And they go to drink the water and it's bitter. Disappointment. How many have ever been that way where you just come to a place where you thought God had answered your prayer only to find out it wasn't an answered prayer at all? The awesome thing is that God didn't leave him there because someone believed God and called out to him. How many know that if it wasn't for Moses' prayer, they probably would have died there? They could have. But it was Moses who stood in the gap and cried out to God. And God showed him, amen, how to cleanse the water, how to purify and make the water sweet. How many know that God wants to make your bitter sweet? He will turn the bitterness of your past, of your life, into something beautiful. Amen? And it's done by the miracle power of God. Hallelujah. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? How many know that that stick, that branch represents the cross? Amen? That Jesus hung on. Hallelujah. Where he can make your bitter sweet. And so sometimes we make the mistake of thinking we don't need to trust God when everything is going well. So God tests us, and he brings us into situations, into places where we will learn to hear his voice. They would never have heard his voice or learned to hear his voice unless they had been brought into the wilderness, folks. How many know that's where you really grow? And sometimes disappointment is God's way of revealing that there are idols in our lives. Things that we trust in. And we put before him. Sometimes God has to deal with finances in your life, in my life. Are you with me? So that he can topple any idols that we have there. Where we are trusting in our finances rather than the God who owns it all. Oh, nobody wants to hear this, I know, because we don't want anybody to be touching our bank account. But how many know that sometimes that happens? Sometimes things happen. There are people who are doctors and lawyers and professional people in this world who find themselves sleeping on a park bench, amen, with newspaper because something happened. A series of events happened and it's all gone. And sometimes that's what it takes for a person to come to their senses to realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the Lord. Amen? That God is the one who raises up and brings down. God is the one who sustains, who provides, who takes care of his people. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, this is why. He said, he humbled you in the wilderness, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He wanted them to get to a place where they trusted him and they were able to hear his voice. So they would no longer be led astray, amen, by the influence of Egypt, amen, by Pharaoh. But they would know the voice of the shepherd. And they would know his voice where? In the place of testing. When they were brought to a place of desperation and a place of thirst and a place where they could not do anything on their own. Now they had to trust in God who was able to do the impossible. Has anybody got a witness here of that in your life? If your contentment or your happiness depends on anything or anyone other than God, you're in the risk. You're at risk of falling into idolatry. Would you agree with me today that there's a lot of idolatry in the church? You see, we say those people over there, how could they bow down to that piece of wood or that stone? And yet we've got all kinds of idols in our own hearts. Come on. You can't serve God and mammon, right? You can't worship money. My wife and I are in an association with folks, and we see that so many, especially in the Korean community, where the Korean church has been so vibrant and so alive and so influential, and to a degree where there was like at one time 38% of that nation were born again, believers. and they're into the nations with the gospel. And you know, God has blessed South Korea because of the prosperity. Amen. The prosperity is a sign of His blessing and His favor on them. But just like Israel of old, you know, and even as America is today, we have trusted in our prosperity and we've forsaken God. And now you start to see things shifting there, where now they're having the same problems we're having in America with the divorce rate so high. They say, my wife was sharing with me a statistic, that now they're number one in divorce rate in the world. South Korea is. And a suicide as well. What happened? It's because we begin to worship other gods, folks. We begin to allow idols. And they begin in our hearts. They begin in our minds. We begin to esteem other things as more important than God and His kingdom and the things of eternity. Are you with me? How many know there's probably some here? And if they're not here, don't judge your brother and your sister. But may I suggest to you that some people today just thought something else was more important. Are you with me? Ouch. God's not a hard taskmaster. Amen. God does not control His children. He gives us free will. But how many know that fellowship is something that we should want to do? That we shouldn't want to miss out on? Amen. Especially if the church has got the life of God in it. Amen. That's a place you say, I want to go there. I'm okay with that. Now, some churches I suggest you stay home from. All right. Certainly don't spend too much time there because you'll die, you'll wilt. But you need a church that's open, amen, that believes the Word of God, that exalts Jesus, that allows the Holy Spirit to rule. And that's what we strive to do. We don't want to play church, we want to be the church. Folks, a question we need to ask ourselves is it okay if things don't go my way? Is it okay if things don't go your way? How many know God tests you and I through situations, through relationships, through circumstances? He'll take away the toys. He will allow things to happen to test us to see if, really, to reveal to us what's in our own hearts. So we may find repentance with Him. Amen? And we'll realize, I've been trusting in all these other things. And some of you are in a place right now where you're saying, I know that I have to depend on God. There's just no other way I'm going to make it unless I'm depending on God. And you know, I've found more faith in people that are in that place than anywhere else. But I've also discovered that it's only a season. If you will trust God and you'll be faithful and you'll stand upon His Word and you don't shake, amen, and you don't stagger, amen, you continue to believe God, that God will bring you through this thing too. This is only a season. This too shall pass. It's only a test. But God is teaching you and developing you and allowing you to come into a place where now, God, I need a Word. God, I need to hear Your voice now. Everything else I trusted in, everything else that I could hold on to is no longer there. What I need now is You. And it's in that place where the grace of God is lavished upon you. But before you get to that Elam, before you get to that refreshing, you're going to have to taste marah, the bitterness of the disappointment, where God's going to test you in that place. Will you trust me? Will you hold on to what I promise you? That my God shall supply all of my needs. That's a promise. How many know He's our Father? And a father's responsibility is to his kids to provide. You know what? God wants you to hold Him to His Word. Did you know that? He wants you to say, Lord, You said. He wants you to hold Him to His Word. Why? Because of His integrity. Because He will back up what He says. You need to hear His voice. The word that He speaks to your brother or your sister may not be the same word He speaks to you. But when He speaks to you, you need to listen to it. Even if it seems unreasonable, even if it seems like it's impossible, most of the time what God tells you to do is bigger than you are. but he wants to prove himself to you. He wants you to know that he's faithful. Disappointments test our faith. People failed. Moses passed the test. Jesus, amen, passed the test for us. That's why we need to call upon him and trust him. It was on that tree that Jesus, the Son of God, made the bittersweet for us who receive his pardon. And in other words, your maraz, your bitterness, your difficulties, your hardships, your tribulation will be turned into refreshing, amen, in the end if you trust him. You press on, because what they didn't realize when they were in the place of the marah, in the place of the test, that there was an oasis. It was there. It was still there. It was, they just couldn't see it. They had to press on. They had to press on through that time of testing so they could come into the refreshing of the Lord. Are you with me? How many have discovered that joy does come in the morning? Amen? Amen. That there is a time of weeping. There is a time of travailing. There's a time of tribulation. There's a time of difficulty. But God always rewards those who trust him. Amen? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God doesn't want us to live a single day without him. And we need to be kept from the sin of independence. And that's pride. How many know that independence from God is pride? It's the pride that would cause us to forget him. And that's why we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. How many know it's not talking about just bread from the store? Give us this day our daily bread. Your provision of grace, Father, for me for this day. Amen? All that I have need of is in you. You are my bread. My bread is to do the will of my Father, Jesus said, right? My meat, my food is to do the will of my Father. There is a daily ration for you and I. There is daily manna. There is daily provision of his refreshing, amen? In what? The will of God for your life. You shall learn the voice of the Lord so that you may walk out the will of God. And as you do what God shows you to do, you will be sustained. You will be fed. You will be nourished because you obeyed the will of your Father. Jesus said, what my meat is to do, the will of my Father. Likewise, our meat, our food, is to do what he shows us to do. I have discovered that ministry, when it is done in obedience to the Holy Spirit in my life, I'm always refreshed. I'm never burnt out. Are you with me? If you're doing ministry and you're getting burnt out, it means you're doing something beyond what God has called you to do. Or you're trying to do more than he asked you to do. Are you with me? But if you will listen to his voice and do what he tells you to do, you'll find that you will be sustained by the Lord. Amen. By the word of God every day. He is your bread. And bread means satisfactions. You will be satisfied in his presence because you walk with him and he feeds his sheep. He leads us beside the still waters. Amen. He restores our soul. In fact, he sets a table before us, or prepares a table before us where? In the presence of our enemies. They can't touch this banquet that you and I have access to through the veil. Amen. Into the holy place. By the blood of Jesus, we can come and receive all mercy and grace from him. Come to the waters. Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to finish with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. What is it that's slowing you down? What is it that's hindering you? Are there idols that need to be toppled? God's going to allow things to expose those things in those areas in our lives so that we will be willing to let them go, forsake all things, amen, that we may embrace the cross and follow Jesus. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. This is a New Living Translation. Hebrews 12:2. We do this By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Hallelujah. Do you see, folks, that your mirage, amen, are actually just transitional places. They're times of testing to prepare and equip you for glory. God is getting his people, his bride, ready for eternity. And so whatever you're going through, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. No one is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. Amen. He's with you in that thing. Just link up with Jesus and say, Lord, what are we going to do together? Amen. How are we going to handle this together? He's not going to do it all for you. He's going to say, walk with me. I'll show you how to do it. And where you're weak, I'll be strong for you. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you that you're good all the time, that you're working out your salvation, your plan in our lives, Lord, that you're getting us ready for eternity. Lord, we say, bring it on, Lord. We want to be ready. We want to be ready, Lord, for when you come. We want to be spotless. We want to be pure. We want to be holy. Lord, we want to be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is never in vain. We want to run the race with you, Lord. We know that we're not alone, but you're with us. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We trust you today, Lord. We're looking to you. Lord, there are those here today that have needs. We thank you that you're going to meet those needs. And Lord, in your word you said, I will meet those needs if you will seek my kingdom above everything else. Don't seek prosperity. Don't seek money. Seek my kingdom. Seek me. And all these things I will add to you. Father, we thank you because you are faithful and you will do exactly what you said you will do. Help us to look beyond the bitter pool to the time of refreshing that's up ahead. We know, Lord, you're going to turn all things around for good. As you said in your word, you have promised to work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. Help us, Lord, to remember to call on you instead of grumble, to do what Moses did, Lord, and then you will show us the answer. And we know you are that answer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.